All right, let us bring in who I think, honestly, and I say this with all sincerity, one of the best baseball analysts in the country. He writes the Sheehan newsletter. He's a contributor to SI, and if you want to get a mixture of analytics and just basic baseball, you want to read this gentleman's newsletter. Joe Sheehan. Joe, nice to have you with us. How are you?
Good, Marty. Thank you for that.
Yeah, and before we go any further, tell everyone where they can subscribe to your newsletter, because I get it every day, and I tell you, I read it every single day, and I think it's the best thing out there. So go ahead. Give yourself a nice plug.
You can check out my Twitter feed at @Joe_Sheehan, @Joe_Sheehan.com. Twitter, I should say. There's also JoeSheehan.com. Best place to look at stuff right now is at Facebook. There's a Sheehan newsletter Facebook page where you can see excerpts, and I answer questions from readers. That's probably the best place to go.
All right. I love it. I think it's great. But I wanted to have you on here today to get your take on Giants-Cubs, and you've broken down all the other series so carefully. Let's start with Giants-Cubs. We've got Samardzija and Hendricks tonight. What you thought about last night and some interesting insights you have on the Giants and the fact that they don't swing and miss that much, which impresses you. So go ahead.
Well, yeah, last night was really a blown opportunity. They got the 7 1/3 shutout innings out of Cueto before the Baez home run. And, you know, the opportunity to just win one game in Chicago would have really turned the series, especially with Madison Bumgarner throwing game 3 at AT&T. We'll see what happens today. If you talk about these two teams matching up, you know, the Giants are the best contact hitting team in the National League. And they've been a very strong contact hitting team throughout this 6-year run that they've had, or should say 7-year run that they've had going back to 2010. If you go back to 2009, when strikeouts really began to take over the game, and now, of course, strikeouts, about 21% of the time you'll see a batter strike out. In that time in the postseason, when teams match up, the team with the better contact rate has won more than 70% of the series. So it does seem to be a leading indicator, and the Giants have been a part of that. You look at this series, you've got the Giants as the best contact team in the postseason up against the Cubs, who do a better job of turning balls in play into outs than any team this century. So it's a real strength versus strength matchup. I think we saw, you know, the Cubs certainly get the better part of that last night. The Giants didn't help themselves with losing a couple of base runners early in the game. But this is interesting. The Giants try to beat teams with singles and doubles, and the Cubs are very hard to hit singles and doubles against.
And they're facing the pitcher tonight, Joe, and Kyle Hendricks, who pitches a contact. He's been phenomenal at Wrigley Field with a 1.32 ERA. But last postseason, he failed to get through the fifth inning. You think that'll have any effect on tonight? How do you see this game playing out tonight at Wrigley Field?
I don't actually. I don't think last year really is going to have any effect on what we saw tonight. You know, one of the things the Cubs have done very well this year, not just Hendricks, but you look at John Lester and Jake Arrieta, is they've given up very weak contact. There's all this new technology now where we can measure how hard players are hitting balls off of pitchers. And those three guys were three of the top, I believe it was 11 pitchers in the league this year at giving up soft contact. That's why Hendricks, who he struck out a lot of guys, but he's not a strikeout pitcher the way we might talk about, say, Max Scherzer. He's still somebody who gets a lot of outs. I think the key for the Giants is going to be, you know, much is going to be throughout the series. Get the ball in play, find holes, try to beat that good Cubs defense. And, yeah, I don't think the Giants can win 7-6, 8-7 in this series. I think they're going to need at least five good innings out of Jess Samardzija. I think the bullpen's going to have to pitch the way it did right at the last couple of weeks of the season when it kind of got it together. And the Giants are going to have to pick up 7, 8, 9 hits, turn them into runs.
Boy, very good. Joe Sheehan with us. As I say, this is part of what you get in the newsletter, which is absolutely terrific. Defensively, the Cubs off the charts defensively with zone ratings and things like that, runs saved. But the Giants are no slouches. They're third in the list, aren't they?
They're a strong defensive team as well, and this has also been a signature for them for the last few years. I do think you're looking at a gap now between the Giants' infield defense and what they get out of Buster Posey versus what their outfield defense is now. You know, you look up and all of a sudden the Giants are typically starting three outfielders 32 and older, and their outfield defense has definitely declined as their outfield has gotten a little bit older, but the infield defense is amazing. I'll take Belt, Panic, Crawford, and even Eduardo Nunez, up against just about anybody. I'm a big Brandon Crawford guy. I love him as a player. The rare left-handed hitting shortstop, an absolute stud defensively, and he's become a pretty good hitter. So one of my favorite players.
Now you can run on both these guys. 13 stolen bases, 4 caught stealing on Hendricks. 13 stolen bases, 6 on Samardzija. Now, they've pitched a lot of innings. Samardzija's gone 203. And Hendricks, 190. So in the scheme of how many innings, they're not running crazy on him. This isn't Syndergaard. But Contreras is behind the plate tonight. You see the Giants maybe running a little bit more than normal because they are not known as a running team.
No, and they can steal some bags. One of the things we saw last night is they had the two base runner kills early, the pickoff and the caught stealing. I think they want to try to take extra bases, and this gets back to the type of offense they run. Not so much small ball. I don't want to get caught up in small ball, but just the idea that, hey, look, if you're not going to hit the long ball, it becomes a little more important to get that guy from first to second because you're going to hit singles, you're going to hit doubles to drive him home. You're not going to be hitting the long ball to score two runs on one swing. So, yeah, I do think the Giants are going to be aggressive on the bases. This is where not having Eduardo Nunez, I know he's on the roster, but if you saw that ninth inning at bat last night, guys, he can't run at all. Yeah. And that's a weapon they could have used in the series.
All right, Joe Sheehan with us. Let's jump around a couple of these series that you've commented on your newsletter. It's been terrific. Boston and Cleveland, and my friend Bonte here, who's on the show with us today, and Cody and Raf and everyone. Everyone's sort of writing off the Red Sox. It is a five-game series, but Cleveland have this thing. And I love the way Francona, I don't know if you're a fan of this or not, but I love the way he brought Miller in early in the last game. That reminded me of Joe Torre in the old days. Give me your take on Cleveland-Boston right now.
Well, a lot of Red Sox fans are upset, and the Red Sox media is upset, and I think you just have to say, hey, look, it's a two-game losing streak, and those happen. I go back to that game Thursday night, and Marty, I'm with you. I loved what Terry Francona did. It was an important part of the game, and he got his best pitcher into that spot. And you can't worry about seventh, eighth, and ninth innings. I mean, what if you score four runs? What if you leave your other pitcher in and he gives up three runs and you never have a chance to use Miller? In the postseason, all you can do is play the situation in front of you and not worry so much about going forward, because especially in a five-game series, you steal one win that you're not supposed to get, or maybe you weren't going to get, it changes the entire series. Obviously, yesterday, David Price not pitching well. I think it's worth noting the Red Sox got three hits, all singles, and three walks. So for all the attention paid to David Price, the offense didn't show up either.
Now, Joe, the tough part of this business is you have to make predictions. We all have to make predictions. And before the playoffs started, you predicted something that's not entirely popular with Giant fans out here. You picked the Dodgers to win the World Series in seven games over the Red Sox. What was behind that?
Well, some of that is the path. The facing up with this injury-plagued Nationals team, I think they're going to have an easier path to get to the NLCS. And you just look at that rotation, the way it's pitching of late. They got Kershaw off the DL. He was amazing in September. Rich Hill went healthy now over the last year. What is it, a 1.99 ERA? Since he came back from the independent league to pitch well. Julio Urias, and guys, I'm not sure how much you guys got to see him this year. He had two bad starts when he got called up, and since then he's basically pitched at the level of a number two starter. That's three top-tier left-handed pitchers to throw against the Cubs. And the Cubs don't have a big platoon split, but just that's quality starters. The Cubs all of a sudden went from possibly facing the Mets and the Cardinals and whoever else to having to go through Cueto, Bumgarner, Kershaw, Hill, Urias, and Maeda. Their path to the World Series is really tough now. And I love, because of that Dodger rotation, I think they can give the Cubs a lot of trouble.
Boy, I'll tell you, this is going to be interesting to see if the Giants can get past the Cubs. We got a big game tonight. Joe Sheehan is with us. But then, Joe, I just want to tell you, we saw it in the last week, and I realized the Dodgers had nothing to play for at that point. But, boy, you throw left, you can throw me, and I'm left-handed, against the Dodgers, and Jock Peterson will hit 120. I mean, they just do not hit lefties at all. And a huge win for them yesterday over Scherzer, because now the Nationals have to be concerned about game four.
No question. And with the rain out today, too, it kind of throws things a little bit off, because I think they would have liked to have gone Tanner Rock in game two and brought him back on full rest for a game five. Right. I think both managers now are going to have to manage the rest of the series. We'll see how it goes here. The Nationals are up 2-1. I don't think they'll be as worried about bringing back Scherzer on short rest. They'll be able to hold him back for full rest, but it's certainly kind of a subplot to this series. You mentioned the Dodgers' struggles with lefties. One thing to watch for, and again, I'm getting ahead of myself here, but just to look ahead, if the Cubs have to go five in this series and Lester has to pitch game five, that means that he'd only be able to throw one of the first six games in all likelihood in LCS against the Dodgers. It would be an advantage for them if they could only have to face Lester in game three and game seven, as opposed to him being able to start game one of that series.
Yeah, great point. That's a good point. Boy, this is something tonight, though. Samardzija and Hendricks, how do you see this one maybe unfolding a little bit, knowing the way Samardzija pitches against a team like the Cubs? He had a 48-pitch inning against the Cubs in his last time out. And then Hendricks is, look, you got to go back to Big Bill Lee in 1938 to find a Cub that led the led the majors in ERA. How do you see this one playing out?
You know, I look at both these guys as high variance pitchers, particularly Samardzija. Samardzija's a guy who can go out and give you seven shutout innings, you know, striking out 10 or 11, or he can blow up. And it's really just about the command that he has on a given day. And if he doesn't have command, this Cubs team, which is, you know, maybe the most patient in the National League, one of the two most patient in baseball, will absolutely destroy you. Samardzija's going to have to throw strikes. He's going to have to be 0-1, 1-2 to hitters. And if he's not, this could be a very long night for the Giants. To me, that's everything for the Giants. Is Samardzija getting ahead of the batters? Because if he's 1-0-2-0, this lineup will absolutely kill him.
All right, very good. Now, bullpens. I say this is going to be a bullpen game tonight. I feel that one coming. We know what Chapman can do. Compare the two bullpens just briefly for us.
There's no question the Cubs have the stronger bullpen. They added Chapman to a bullpen that was already very strong. And both Hector Rondon and Pedro Strop spent time on the DL down the stretch, largely because the Cubs had the luxury of putting on Lovin Sabathia. But once you get to the seventh inning, if it is a bullpen game, the Cubs can just run out these power arms against you. In addition to Rondon, Strop, and Chapman, you've got C.J. Edwards. Whereas the Giants are really playing more matchup ball. And okay, certainly Bruce Bochy doesn't have the 14 relievers he had 3 weeks ago, but he's still going to have to work that with Lopez and Romo. He's going to have to do what he's done for three previous postseasons, which is constantly match up and try to go out by out.
Well, I love it. Joe, great to have you with us. As I say, and mention again where folks can get the newsletter, because I think it's this kind of discussion printed out. It comes out just about every day on this kind of analysis. Where can people find you?
Facebook.com, Sheehan Newsletter, JoeSheehan.com, and Twitter, Joe_Sheehan.
Very good. Thanks for being on, and we'll see how this one plays out. As I always say, day by day, that's the five-game series. It changes like the weather. Joe, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, buddy.
All right. That is Joe Sheehan.